Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, success strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on relationships. Third Saturday, move around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. And Grand Rising, thank you for joining us on this day. This Wednesday. On the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, I'm Naima Latif, and today we celebrate joy to the world. We've got Mama Joy Segura joining us today, And in a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we are so excited because, as always, we are going to address these issues that are at the core of the struggle that we have between men and women, husbands and wives. And on these Wednesdays, every third Wednesday, we get an opportunity to hear from a powerful feminine perspective that seeks to undo some of the mistaken beliefs, some of the misteachings that we have allowed to become part of our culture and our belief systems. And because we, the women, have allowed it, it now is expected of us. And when our daughters rebel, we don't always understand that it's for our best interest that we undo some of the old ways of thinking about womanhood and femaleness. And if we can correct the imbalance in our relationship, then we can correct everything else in the world that is out of balance. So we want you to call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you are ready to speak, and we'll know you have something to say. As always, if you want to join us visually, you can go to The Female Solution on Facebook or The Female Solution on YouTube and write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with Mama Joy, bringing us some joy to the world today as we correct some of the mistaken belief systems when it comes to womanhood, femininity, and female sexuality. Where did that shame part come from, and why are we still promoting that thought and using names like Jezebel to besmirch power and femininity? And why is that something that men have been taught to scorn? How do we fix that thought? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And welcome to Mama Joy. Always so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for joining us this wonderful Wednesday morning, and we see and hear you perfectly, and there's the wonderful first gentleman of the house helping out.
I have myself a on two different squares here, so I'm off of that one now.
Oh,
so
okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Good morning. Yeah,
yes.
I've been here a while. For some reason, I was sort of lost in all of this.
Oh, you yes. know what I'm saying? Yes. You know, it takes us a minute to navigate sometimes, but, hey, we're all here and having a wonderful
but we're
time.
Here. We and are I got here. My technician here. So
yes.
Absolutely. But this is really wonderful.
Yes.
I think that is really the questions that you brought before are so, so very important. We don't know how we even got there, you know, to be low on the totem pole, where if you even just go biblically, you understand that both male and female in the image of the divine
came
at the same time, you know. And I have a take on that because as I have come awakening to my own power, and this is what I desire to have, and that is to bring the knowledge and understanding to the women that we are part of the divine image of God.
Yes.
Jesus brought that imagery, that family structure, the structure of a family, just by inviting us to see God as our Father.
Yes.
But when we know that it is impossible for a man to father anything unless he connects and have a place to plant his seed and the other. It's like we are made up of two. It's a give and take. This world is give and take. And as you give and take, you know, things happen. Movement is done.
Yes, yes.
So when Jesus introduced his Father, there were two things at stake there. Number one, to quieten the mouths and the words of people who were considering him a bastard.
Mm.
Now, that is something many of us don't touch on. But when mother comes on the scene, as I have and as you are, we will put certain things to task as only a woman can.
Yes.
As only a woman can. And I can imagine Mary moving around saying, God is your Father.
Mm.
Have you ever thought about that? God is your Father, and Jesus had to defend himself that, no, my mother didn't have a man. God is my Father. We know what would happen out here on the South Side. I know what would happen in New Orleans, or California. So the reality comes when we are able to expound, when God reveals these things to us through our own experiences, Naima, through our own experience with the realities of life, that we can see that Jesus' childhood was not an easy childhood, but he was aware of his wisdom. And as the scripture teaches us that he was there in the temple teaching the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that his mom and daddy did not miss him for 3 days.
Mm.
So what was that relationship?
They just said, let him just do what he does, you know.
He does what he does, what he does. And but as women, we know what the possibilities were there. And I look at this as important for us to understand that we are bringing in the new era by bringing in the knowledge and asking women to accept their positions as daughters of God.
Yes.
Mothers of God. Hmm?
Yes.
Because until you can speak it, you can't own it. If you can't speak it, you can't bring it to light.
Absolutely.
And if you remain silent on it, it won't be. So it's up to us to stand in that. That is what I call a female solution. It's when women are able to dispel the lies and stand in the truth. That if there is a Father, he can only be there if she's there.
That is
and stand in that knowledge and understanding. As he is,
so is she.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I see happen often when even we look at who can be considered as holy or an expression of divinity, it's always a male figure, as if there's something about women that does not allow them to be considered holy. And I've seen in so many cultures where during the monthly cycle of a woman, she's considered something unclean. And the whole idea of her body functions being something that keeps her from being able to be as clean spiritually as a man. Did that notion come about simply because men just didn't have understanding of the female anatomy and cycles and just had, I don't know, superstitions around that for some reason? How did that connection between a woman's cycle and her being unclean and unholy during that time, where did that come from?
Well,
and I see it in so many different cultures, and it is
a lack of knowledge. It is a lack of knowledge. And it's based on observance of the physical. Mm. And she is a creature, her power really comes from the internal and being able to investigate the internal and the very things that men are not created to do as well. Because, you know, it's a structure and a function. Each one of us have a structure and a function. And the question is, who's teaching us about this structure of our bodies?
Mm.
Teaching us the structure of what our function is. When I look into the scripture immediately when the woman was presented to Adam, he didn't have manners, bless his heart. He didn't say thank you. He didn't say who is this or I appreciate you. There was no affection there. He went right into commanding, bless him, oh. She's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. Immediately he took on that position of authority over her, which was given to him to do in the earth. But it wasn't for his helpmate. Remember, she had been called to help him.
Mm.
So my mind came, well, what was the problem?
Yeah, if you need help, that means you got a problem.
That there was a problem. He said, it's not good, God, according to scripture, it's not good for man to be alone. And God sent a helpmate or a helpmeet. So if you're going to be a helpmeet, then you have to meet the challenge. And with God, you have what you need to meet the challenge. But instead, it takes time. This was a young woman. Remember, when she was looking for wisdom, and I look at this, I said, read it. It said she was looking for wisdom.
Mm.
Seeking wisdom. And as Jesus, our master teacher and brother, said, he said, you have not because you ask not. He said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door be open. Mm-mm. Ask and you'll receive.
Absolutely.
And that's what the young woman did. See, she didn't even have a name. She was just another Adam. She was female Adam. Adam was the only one given the name.
Mm.
I know people say, well, Eve ate off of the apple. I said, nah, let's look and read that again. Eve, the name Eve did not even come in the picture, my sister, until after they left the garden.
Well, it's like
robbing a woman of her childhood, robbing her, you know, when girls get pregnant early, 13 and 14 years old, it's 15 years old, they have not been taught of the sacredness of their body, are the power that they have within themselves, or how they can say no as the ruler of their own body,
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I look at when we place judgments on 13, 14, 15-year-olds. Physiologically, we have not changed our body's clock over the centuries since the beginning. So you had many cultures where womanhood officially began at 13. Women were getting married at 13. They were having children at 13. Once your body's gone through puberty and you have the capacity to give birth, and womanhood was not so complicated where you were expected to finish a certain level of school and get a job and have a certain financial status. None of that existed. It was more or less your job was to be the woman who had the children for the family. So that started when your capacity to give birth started. So that clock in terms of when we evolve out of childhood to womanhood has not changed. What has changed is our cultural expectations. So if we realize that at that age is when a body of a woman is going to evolve, then it's our responsibility to prepare her for womanhood emotionally, even as she is expected to delay motherhood and familyhood until she has established certain things that this culture expects. But if we have not put in place things to enable her and to empower her to delay that process, then it's going to happen the way it's been happening naturally over the centuries at that age, 13. So
right.
We condemn her for following the same body clock that has existed for thousands and thousands of years. Why are we doing that? What do we need to adjust in our thinking, first of all, rather than condemning her for being the being that she was created to be and having the physical desires as she has been biologically programmed to have at that age? Why don't we change how we think and teach about sexuality so that it is not something to be condemned, but something to be understood and planned for logically because you understand, as opposed to merely being shamed into silence about it?
Well, see, every question that you just asked, my sister, every statement that you said, and so eloquently, you must understand this is something new. This is something new because as long as man is able to observe from the physical and be able to and have a woman as a subject physically, he doesn't know what the workings are within us until we come in and can speak and voice our own. Yes, it is unclean. It is smelly, you know, and all of those other kinds of things. But this is natural. And because the mothers of the girls, the mothers and the mothers and the mothers before that mothers, they didn't have that knowledge. In fact, like I said the last time I was on, the first book on a woman's body was 1965. And I was... I finished high school.
Oh, wow. That's a little late coming in.
I had finished high school, and that knowledge was not available. And that was part of the revolution and change. They call it the feminine era, you know, and the rights, the feminine rights and all that. But what it was women awakening to something within them that they could not quiet. You know, we think about Sojourner Truth. We think about Harriet Tubman. These women had divine revelations that allowed them to define themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why I look at them as prophets. One of the challenges we have is to be able to see the prophets, the divine prophets of God, both male and female, here in America. Remember, the book that we have the Bible, it came from the East. And my son brought something up in one of our classes. He says, you know, if this man Jesus was all of this which we say he is, that means that he must have had a powerful mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A powerful mother, but the highlight is on the man and not the nurturing.
Right. Yes.
And the love and the word of tongue that mother placed there.
Right.
That's why we have to examine that book with our own heart.
Yes.
And see it. And not only that, but see ourselves in the scripture.
Absolutely.
See ourselves. As a character of the book.
Yes.
Because it's all of the book of life. Therefore, if you're clear about who you are, you can go to the book and see you.
Right. And this woman, again, she's a very young woman, and he was her first child, not her only child, because Jesus had siblings.
Absolutely.
She was his first, he was her first child, and she had to have been evolved spiritually to a certain level to even be able to mother the child that he was. So that meant as a young girl, she was prepared spiritually to be who she became as his mother. And so why would we wait until our daughters are 16, 17, 18 before we start giving them the knowledge of themselves, giving them the vision of what it means to be a mother, giving them the wisdom that they're going to need to bring forth life? Why are we waiting so late? Like you say, the book about women's bodies came out. You were already out of high school.
And was still clinging to my mother's words. You know, when I became a young lady, you know, I was a tomboy. Mm-hmm. I loved to wrestle. I liked to play hard. And I played with the boys. And my mother said, you know, you're going to have to stop that, you know, because you're getting bigger. I said, okay. But I just kept on going because I was a good player.
Yeah.
And a lady came to me, and she said, baby, this is a neighbor. That's why neighbors have a position of authority and wisdom in our community lives, in the quality of our community. She spoke to me. She said, honey, you need to put on a bra.
You bouncing all over the place and didn't even think about it.
I'm playing. It's my body, and it's doing what it does, but it's my body, so I'm not cognizant
you
about.
You evolved into another level, and you hadn't even thought about.
So then, you know, I said, well, I'm playing. She said, I know you're playing, but baby, you're all over the place, and I didn't realize it. So I had to think later on. Well, they really played for me because I was a good player, because I was just bouncing around, and they liked what they saw.
Probably a bit of that too. But see, we're unconscious of how our evolution into womanhood affects the males, because they are also going through a biological change, so they're being aroused in ways that they might not even be prepared for.
And they are not prepared.
They are not.
And let me tell you this. I went to, when I realized that, I went to my mom. I said, Mom, I said, Miss Soy, she said, I need a bra. You don't need no bra.
Oh.
But when someone calls your attention to something,
yes.
And then I realized that I put my hands up. I was full. You don't need them. I said, but I'm running and I'm bouncing. I said, and then my breasts became uncomfortable.
Mm.
Only because someone brought my attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I realized that some change had happened in my body. When I went to my mom and I told her I was going to get a bra, she said, I'm not buying you a bra.
So for her, she had fears of you stepping into womanhood. Yeah.
See, these are stories to tell. So here my mom's afraid. My mom's angry with me because my breast is large. And so I had to run errands and save up my money. I found a place where I could go get my bra, and I told the lady, I asked her what it was, and she told me what it was. It was a couple of bucks or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me get two of them. So I went home, and then I told my mom I wanted her to come with me. And my mother refused, Naima, to go into the place. She parked two blocks away.
That's some deep.
And you only can imagine how I felt. Mama, you know what? I'm not going to watch anybody play on your body.
Wow.
I said, play on my body. See, I'm not, I have to tell my story because I'm by saying we, no, it's me. This is my experience.
But that generation, they had so much repression, and they couldn't talk about it, and they had been shamed into silence, and they didn't know how to express their fears about sexuality. And so all of that is part of what they injected into us because they didn't know any better. We got to take a break, and we got a bunch of callers on the line that want to say something.
Removing shame and guilt about femininity. Come on
in. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and open your mic. And if you are watching us live on Facebook or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back
in a moment. Don't stray away.
Stay with us.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, and we have our beautiful Mama Joy with us today, bringing Mama Joy to the world. And
bringing joy that I'm just aware of. It's just such a pleasure being here with you, and welcome to our guests. You say that we have some...
we've got some callers online. So I'm going to take you in this order. 863-816, 773-521, and 773-221. And if you're on our switchboard and want to join this conversation, simply press 1, and we will... And we will open your mic. And let's go first to area code 863-816. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, good morning to all. Yeah, my 2 cents on it is in the USA, I mean, just from... I guess my observations of it. In the United States, well, I don't know if it's culturally. Maybe it is culturally. We criminalize female sexuality and attempt to regulate it through government regulations as well. Politicians do it. Court systems have, I mean, matter of fact, family court, to a certain degree, has been, that's one of the institutions that has criminalized, in my opinion, female sexuality to some degree. And it also, in my opinion, emasculates men. So virtually with, depending on the circumstance or the person, with no statute of limitations. My grandmother on my mother's side, she was married and started a family at 15 years old, had 7 kids, and it all worked out. I don't know how long. They were married a long time. They died, my grandparents, and she had all those kids by one man, and they both passed in their 90s, knocking at the door of 100. However, you don't see, there are 15-year-olds that still have kids or whatever, but she was actually married. So anyway, that's my 2 cents on it. The system here in the United States criminalizes female sexuality and attempts to regulate. So I'll land my plane there.
That's an interesting thing, you know, because there are a lot of families, especially in the South, where women did start families early, you know, decades ago. And a lot of it is tied to education. The idea, on the one hand, you have your body that tells you at 13, and like you say, Mama Joy, you know, your body awakens. It's like a flower in the spring, you know, comes to life. And that's a biological reality that has not changed over the centuries. But because the idea was you didn't need to have knowledge outside of the home environment, women were not expected to go to school or pursue other kinds of skills. And so it's like, okay, well, once it's time for you to start having babies, well, that's your job, have babies. And so that's when they started, and so that's when they might get married, that's when they might start a family. But then the expectations changed as we evolved into a society that required more knowledge and other opportunities. So now with the expectation of higher education, way beyond eighth grade, because what are you, about 13 at when you finish eighth grade? So if it's expected that you're going to have higher education, learn more skills, well, then you're going to delay that process. That's a cultural decision that was imposed and given a connotation of negativity if you had a child before you had finished that other step of education. But your biology didn't change, only the cultural expectations changed. And so it was given a negative connotation for a woman to have a child at 13, even though her body makes it possible, because the society says, well, now you need to go through these extra steps of education because it's expected that you need to have some earning capacity or some additional knowledge beyond just household management, which in the older times it was expected that your mother would teach you how to manage your house, how to take care of your babies and all of that sort of thing. But now your role has expanded, but your body hasn't changed. And we haven't dealt with that other than to place shame on a woman who is awakening at 13 if she becomes sexually active. We haven't given her any other tools to work with, any other skills, any other understanding. The only thing we've done is given her shame if she becomes what she was already biologically designed to become at age 13. So how do we fix that?
You know, I would like to, and all that you said. I just want to do two things for the gentleman that the caller that came in. Whenever you're speaking of truth. I did not get your name. Forgive me.
L.A., I'm sorry.
L.A.
L.A., whenever you're speaking truth, you're not speaking 2 cents, okay? You're not talking about 2 pennies. What we are in dire need of is individuals who will speak the truth, not fear the truth, and not be angry, but serve it in love. And you did 2 things. You served it. I felt you. And it's 3 things. And I also felt that you are a man of consciousness who desires a correction and a particular, the image that many of our ladies, our women are having towards men. I don't know if you're married or not, but we have too many homes with single parents. You gave us a perfect example of a time and era. You said your grandmother and grandfather, they had several children.
Yes,
I don't want to put the numbers again. Was it 7 or 13?
Seven.
Most of the time they were Catholics. Are they, were your parents Catholics?
They were Baptists. This was in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Louisiana, that's my home state. Hello.
Yes.
Well, now, but Louisiana, believe it or not, that is a Catholic state. And the church, the Catholic Church, is very influential in there because it's the only state that doesn't have counties. It has parishes.
Parishes.
The only state in the whole United States, there are parishes. And each one of these parishes, you have archbishops who are over them. And there's a strong dictate. For instance, in New Orleans, on every Friday, most 95% of the folks I knew didn't eat meat on Friday because of the influence of the Catholic religion. Because I attended Catholic schools there, they had the largest, always had the largest number of children. It was not
Catholics
even Catholic
birth
to have
control. Yeah.
Huh?
Catholics teach against birth control of any kind. I guess considered, I don't know, ungodly or whatever. So you just
they're very strong and very strict. So 14, 16 children in a family was not uncommon, you know. And I love the way you place it. They married young, and generally they did, and they stayed together
And there was a certain spirit of Christianity, a Catholicism. When God is in place, it really enables the relationship to have a very strong point of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows for you to have a reference point.
Someone said the issue is not
the age of pregnancy, but the relationship between the father and mother, no matter how young and how much support they have from the elders. That is so true. I was on a block, and both of my grandparents lived near us. We were on the same block. It was an L shape. One was on the seven top, and on the other side. So I had my grandparents were there. So that is something that's missing now, because many of our kids, once they go to college, they leave. They don't come back to the community.
Right.
They don't come back to the communities. So this idea, and you brought it to mind about the legal institution and how it tears down family. That is a habit. And that is the main thing which they did to our ancestors. They destroyed the family. A family is a natural institution.
Yeah.
We have not been taught about the powers of the family.
And we've actually allowed it to be destroyed, people deciding when you can have a family, if you're qualified financially to have a family, whether or not you're qualified to give birth. And in these times, if you are trying to start a family at age 16 and say the woman is 16 and the man is 19, well, that could be the law can decide it's statutory rape, and you can end up going to jail because the law has decided when it will allow you to be officially an adult, ignoring whatever your biology is, whatever your emotions are, and making you conform to an artificial standard of when adulthood starts. And I know this is controversial for a lot of people, but you have to think, who makes these decisions and what is the reason for them? And is there an economic agenda behind these decisions that have nothing to do with biology?
I think there is an economic agenda in it, and I think I don't know the whole thing of it, but it plays out through the public or state-funded education, public school system. I'll just say this real quick. My grandmother was 15 when she got married. Now, she only had a fifth or sixth grade education. And she had a brother. He had a fifth or sixth grade education. That was it. However, my grandmother taught all of her children how to make their own clothes, because they just didn't have the dollars coming in to do it. So she knew how to make, she taught, and I'll use my mother's example. She can look at whatever you're wearing on your back and how to make a pattern of that, coat, pants, underwear, shoes, socks, and all that. She taught her, include my mother, because she had seven kids, and it was six girls and one boy. She taught them how to make clothes or how to make patterns out of newspapers on site. So that was a life skill to keep the family close, because my grandfather was blind. And if they were short on food, my grandmother would go to wherever the river, whatever the body of water was in New Orleans, and go fishing and feed the kids that way. Her brother, who also had a fifth or sixth grade education at best, he knew how to go into the woods, pick out which type of tree. He knew how to make his own lumber, because there was no Home Depot, Lowe's, and Menards back then. And he would source the lumber locally and then build houses that still stand to this day. So the modern education system doesn't teach that. I would say those two with a sixth grade education were more educated than me coming up, because I went to private schools and they didn't teach me none of that stuff. I'll land my plane there.
Wow.
You're laying it in there, and what you're talking about is that your grandparents were aligned with principles. That's a word that we used to speak a lot down in New Orleans. And they also were closer to nature. And everybody had a purpose. Every member in the family had a purpose.
so many young people where they would feel the need to support the family, they would forego their education so that others can move forward. You don't find that kind of love and caring that's going on. That's some of the things that we need to go back to. Ask, what are we teaching in school? After my kids left school, I must say that I dropped the ball. Because when I sent my granddaughter to the store and wrote a note to her, I said, look, you take this note. We're going to finish our shopping. My brother, you know what she did? She left. Okay, Grandma. But then she came back just as quick as she left. And she said, I can't read this. I said, what do you mean? I said, I know my handwriting is bad, but she said, this is cursive. We're not taught cursive. So here we have changes that are happening in our school system. We don't even know it. If they wanted to read the Constitution, they couldn't do it because that was written in cursive.
Wow.
And so they don't teach that. They're not teaching. Look, how many educated, degreed people have not been taught how to balance their checkbook, how to have a savings. There's what is called adulting classes now, where you have people with master's degrees and PhDs that's going to adult classes to learn how to cook because they don't know how to cook for themselves. So what
wow.
is this education system that's teaching our children to just be waste?
Ooh,
here we go.
Just be waste. That's all they are.
Them out of themselves, give them no knowledge about who they are or what their responsibilities are to the community. Our institutions are not just outdated. They need to be questioned. Is this part of the extension of the slavery institution?
Mm. That's really something to think about.
Is this part of the extension of the slavery institution? Because
yes.
if you cannot teach a man or a woman or a child who they are and give them value, they'll say, oh, they're supposed to get that at home. Yes, but the school is supposed to be in alignment with the home.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to support what is good for the child. And I can remember when they moved us out, they told us, we don't want you working with the children because you don't know what you're doing. I always work with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But here they brought on new math. They brought on new English. They brought all this new stuff and told the parents to stay away because you're going to just confuse the children. Now they want the parents to come in. But they remember the day that they put the parents out.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, then they took the prayer out. So where's the higher power for a child to associate with?
Right. Where's the purpose for living? And then where, like LA is saying, where are the life skills? You spend all these
life
years.
Skills. They're not teaching life skills.
No life skills. What could you do after eighth grade?
What are we paying for?
Yeah. What can you do after eighth grade that is of any value that you can help your family, your community? What skills do you have? And then, okay, so now you want me to go an extra 4 years. What life skills do I have after 12th grade? What can I do? What can I build a home? Can I fix a car? Can I sew my own clothing? Can I cook a meal? Can I cut grass? Can I do anything that can I like you say, manage a checkbook? Can I do anything that is household and self-management, self-sustaining, self
exactly. These things should be in place in our schools.
Yes.
Otherwise, they are not supporting
wasting our time.
Our kids contributing to society,
absolutely.
Or contributing to their own lives.
Right. So you look at that. You look at the fact that you're expected to waste another 4 years learning useless information. And if a woman, as her body evolves into its purpose, gets pregnant, she's condemned. Oh, she's a pregnant teen. She's a single mother. Because she's doing what she biologically is supposed to do at that period of time, and all we want her to do is waste some more time with useless information.
But she's not being taught how to use those emotions, what to do
right.
with those feelings,
what to
do with that magnetism that starts drawing her. And she gets excited and tingling all in her body and saying, whoa, what's going on here? And mama can't talk to her about it.
Right.
Daddy doesn't talk to her about it. You know, and then she has, and she's never told that she's a princess. She's never told that she's beautiful and lovable. She's never told these wonderful things. So it's easy for a man to walk in and say, hey, cutie,
yeah.
you know, you something else.
and make her smile. But she's supposed to be raised that way in the family. She's supposed to get that from her mom and her daddy. But mama don't feel that way about herself.
Yes. She's ashamed of her own femininity, and the only thing she can do is condemn the blossoming daughter, and her face is like, your mother was afraid when you said you needed a bra. And it's like, oh, no, you're becoming a woman. No, I don't want that to happen. I'm not ready for that to happen. But why weren't our parents prepared for what is natural and wholesome in a way that would be uplifting and encouraging instead of condemning? Why are we not prepared for the natural evolution that's going to happen instead of it being condemned? Because you're feeling the things that you're supposed to feel when you're being prepared for motherhood. And then you have the young men, and as you say, they're all excited seeing this new emerging body. They're doing what they're supposed to do biologically. Are we preparing them for familyhood and fatherhood, or do we, well, you know, we're going to be bringing on our co-hosts right after the break. During one of our men-only sessions, a lot of the men talked about, now they were told how to seduce a woman and maybe how to have sex with her, but they weren't given a vision of, now that you're emerging into manhood, now's the time to begin a family. They're just told to, you know, hey,
sow your wild oats.
So all our whole sexuality has been taken all out of context.
It is. And that's actually this time we got to bring it back into the divine. What was God's original intention?
What was the plan?
What was the divine plan?
And the divine plan did not include public school people. It did not include a college degree. It did not include a financial standard of a job. It included learning how to work with your neighbor, to love your neighbor, to share with your neighbor, to develop skills to serve the greater community, and to have love and peace in your household. All these other artificial constraints are connected to something that has nothing to do with self-development.
And unity on all fronts. With love, with all, and wisdom
and
on all
wisdom.
Points.
Absolutely. So
wisdom is missing.
That's what's missing.
That's what he was looking for. She was seeking wisdom.
Wisdom. That's what it takes. So, and L.A., one of the things that you brought out about your grandparents, they understood that their role was to come together in unity and create a family that was interdependent and functional and self-sustaining, so they had the skills to provide for their needs. They're knowing how to make their own clothes. And that's what people did back in the day. You knew how to build your own house. You knew how to grow your own food. You knew how to make your own clothes. So what did you need a useless education that taught you none of those things for? You knew how to take care of yourself.
What kind of education do we need today?
Right. And is it giving us the things that will help us build strong families that are able to take care of themselves?
Be involved with the development. That's the reason why when they have these local school councils, there should be someone from the community there to be a part of the voice of making these curriculums. Remember,
right. These
are the teachers in the schools, the administrations, the superintendents. They are public servants.
Mm.
These are public servants because our taxes pay their salaries. And
absolutely.
So what we need to understand as a whole is that we should be at the table determining what our children learn.
So now we've got a comment from a viewer, Troy Dia. Ringer says, biologically a child can have a child once they begin their menstrual cycle. Just because a menstrual cycle starts doesn't mean a child should be having a child. So now the question becomes, are we preparing our children to be adults emotionally at the same time that they are becoming adults biologically? And why are we delaying their adulthood? Is it to meet an economic agenda that has nothing to do with their biological evolution into adulthood? And are we expecting the schools to do that? Because the schools are not equipped. The schools are equipped to make them learn this useless information that gives them no life skills and delay the reality of their sexuality and condemn it as if that's going to stop it from happening.
And we're having some real serious emotional issues with our children now.
Yeah.
Because there is a lack of spiritual connection,
yeah.
Hallelujah, and self-definition.
Yeah.
And there's no voice going towards this. Our streets are telling us that we are not doing right. Something
right.
is happening. We need help. And right now, that is why I'm standing on that mothership authority for women to tap into their divine essence.
Right. Well, Pearl
and
Black Pearl says it's good stuff.
We birth our children, Naima.
Yes.
We don't want to bury them. And this is what's happening.
Yes.
And why in the community we have our children, so many are destroying themselves, and yet we do not have the substance to come together and work out a solution as to what we can do to bring love and not this hate in our community,
that's
particularly amazing. With the number of churches we have.
Right.
So this is a real issue. Our children's mental and spiritual foundation are very shallow, and they must be able to tap into that power within themselves. They need tools.
They need tools. Yeah, well, let's talk about those tools.
And just a realization of that they are spiritual beings.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about those tools. We're going to come back and talk about how to imbue them with those tools that they need to transform their lives.
Thank you.
In a way that's uplifting and empowering and not shaming and degrading and humiliating. And in line with their natural biological development. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And we're going to bring on our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family and share your thoughts. And, of course, we're going to go to our callers on the line. Yes. And thank you so much, L.A. We, as always, appreciate your words.
L.A. Yes, L.A. Most gracious, grateful for your comments and input. Far more valuable.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Change our thinking and create
a new idea about preparing children for adulthood and be on the same time schedule as our bodies have been for thousands of years, and preparing our children to be the adults that they are when their bodies tell them they are adults. So before we get into the next callers, and we've already got some callers online that want to comment on that, what are your thoughts on that, Brother Kareem? How should we address that reality?
Yes, thank you. That is a very important question. And I'm grateful that you mentioned our biological clock. We are in an artificial reality. We are trying to operate in an artificial reality. The Creator have placed a biological clock within us. Here comes man, and he creates his own clock, but it's not in agreement with the clock of creation. First off, let me say this. The idea of teenager, teen, that is a new construct. That is a new false construct coupled with the idea of being irresponsible, coupled with the idea of frivolity. Oh, just let your hair down. Oh, well, you know, he's a teenager now. Lighten up. Let him sow his wild oats. Oh, well, she's a teenager now. Wait a minute. Lighten up. You know, back up. Let her do her thing. But that is a new construct. In centuries in the past, it was the function of the family to pass on valuable traits and education of how to be a mother and a wife, a husband and a father. There were instances whereby the father would ask the son or say to him, it is time that you begin a family now. Why is he saying that? Because he have nurtured that young man. He have given him the blueprint and the strength to be a husband and a father, not go out and play, not go out and play. The family is the first social unit, and it is so vital that we prepare our coming generations to function productively in that social unit, the family. We have to get back to what is normal, to what is nature. If someone, let's say there is a young man and a young woman, and they desire each other, here is a solution that our beloved Imam Walter D. Muhammad gave us. Prayers and peace be upon him. May Almighty God grant him the highest station in the paradise. This is something, what he is offering is what used to be done. You see they are attracted to each other. You see that there's the possibility of them engaging in irresponsible sex. Why not suggest to them and let them get married, and the adults of both families, they help them in that marriage. They offer support and they help them until they can get on their feet and operate independently. And as that process moves forward, we are strengthening the family unit. This is not a plaything. God says he did not create this creation for sport and play, But the oppressors have come up with a period in our life whereby right when the life is on the cusp of accepting responsibility and moving itself forward for a greater production and productivity, they introduce play and amusement to us. No, let's get back to the original clock. We know that women were married at the age of 13, 12, 14, 15, and were wonderful mothers. And young men were responsible fathers because their fathers fashioned for them and modeled them. And the father let them know what his intent was for his son and his daughters. So we have to take our parenting back. We have to speak to our children and let them know what we expect from them. Do not just rely on someone that you don't even know, someone you don't even know, to give them the skills and moral fortitude to be a productive, God-fearing human being. So we have to eradicate these artificial thought processes that have been forced upon us. It's a big job because now here comes social media. Here comes social media, and it's another voice inside and outside of the home. We have to take our autonomy back. We have to take our rights back as parents, and let us reject the artificiality construct that the world has placed on us as human beings and as a family. We have to take that back. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Yeah, I agree. And we've got a comment from Ernest Abdullah who says 99.9% of what we've been taught is non-progressive. What you're discussing is only scratching
right.
the surface. And you know, actually, what you say that Imam Warsuddin Muhammad taught about why not follow the biological clock that has always existed, and rather than have the society decide you must delay your adulthood and go through this artificial second adolescence where you are irresponsible for your life until you've completed certain levels of education, which are really preparing you for a role in an economy. It has nothing to do with your family planning or any of that. It's to prepare you to fulfill a role in an economic structure that is out of your control, unlike LA's grandparents who were basically taking care of themselves. They had the skills. They had the life skills. They didn't need a college degree. They knew how to build a house, knew how to sew clothes, knew how to grow food. They knew how to take care of a family. So why am I delaying my adulthood? I'm already an adult. Let me start my process of being an adult and start a family. So what he's teaching, it makes sense. What we have to do is prepare our children to be adults when their biological clock says they're an adult. An adult shouldn't mean I'm spending an extra 4 or 8 years in useless education where I'm playing through life and not being a responsible adult. Adults should be, let me learn life skills so that I can be prepared to be a parent, prepared to be a life partner to someone, a spouse to someone. We're going to face this life together. And yet we might be in this for 80 years together. So let me be prepared with the role that I need to play as someone's life partner in bringing forth life and taking care of that life and myself when my biological clock says it's time. And let me get the support, the emotional support, and financial support from my parents and grandparents who have wisdom.
There you go.
So that
yeah.
we can sustain this
there
relationship
you go. That's
as
wisdom.
We grow. That's what makes sense.
Pass on life lessons. You know,
absolutely.
There is such, we all know there are grandparents, very valuable. The grandparents, that's where the real wisdom lies. Then you have great grandparents, great, you know. So passing on life skills, it's a shame to see a young man that doesn't know how to cook. You mean
right.
you can't
that's
prepare.
Life skill.
That's life skill. And not only just a young man, even young women. We're eating out of fast food restaurants. That's so unhealthy, so unhealthy. So these are our skills that we must teach our children. But above all, the greatest skill is the skill to avoid the moral pitfalls in the society in which we live.
Right.
Give them a moral compass that is most important, a sense of right and wrong.
I know we have a comment here.
Yes.
Pearl, Black Pearl, she said, this was powerful and relevant dialogue needed in this hour. You all are dropping gems and healing the intentional generational gap created by this Christendom that has made the perception of the wisdom of our elders obsolete.
Mm.
Wow. You know, very rarely you hear young people speaking about wisdom. And, you know, and this is so important, intergenerational connections.
Yeah.
If these young people feel that they are mature enough and they care enough, rather than have them, you know, hold back with a lot of things that absolutely mean nothing to them and creating emotional instability, mental instability, bring them in. And
yes.
Bring it under the family ship. That's the next institution, the family ship institution.
Yeah.
And the spirit should move over the community through other neighbors.
Yeah.
It's like I said, when my mom said she didn't want to discuss me, Brother Kareem, earlier about my bra, it was a neighbor that came to me. And
yes.
Spoke to me lovingly.
Your body has changed. You're out here running with the boys and things are flopping around. You need to do something.
It wasn't my mom. It wasn't my mom.
No.
And my mom did not support
it takes
me.
A village sometimes.
You know, but so we neighbors, everyone should take on the responsibility as taking on the community or our neighborhood, and we adults take on the position of mother and father of these communities. We talk about village, but we have not activated that because we really don't know what a village is.
Right, and where are the villages?
Don't know what it looks like.
Right.
Part of that.
Right, you got to know what a family is.
And bringing healing to this community.
Absolutely.
Because too many kids are dying, and no one sees anything.
Right, and what has happened is that people who are at various levels of dysfunction have children that they were not prepared to raise. And so the children now are in a state of survival. And this is because we had that generation of parents that just really didn't know how to parent. We got shuffled into a system of education that was very separating. It wasn't teaching you how to be a partner. It was teaching you how to be a separate individual that was running after your own economic advantage. It wasn't teaching you how to cooperate. It wasn't teaching you how to mother or father a child. It was sex was glorified, but it was all out of context. And so now we're in a state of such confusion where that generation that should be wise elders, the drug generation. That's the generation that crackheads. I mean, they didn't have the emotional stability. They were reacting to the trauma of their time and succumbing
Naima?
To the intentional plot to keep them in that
Naima?
State of trauma. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We have some callers here on the studio board. When you are,
yes.
are ready, I want to open their mic so that they can join this wonderful conversation. Inshallah.
Yes, we'll take a caller from your switchboard, and then we'll go to area code 773-221 on our switchboard. And before you take your call, let me just read a remark on our Facebook page. Zelda Robinson says, Grand Rising, Dr. Joy and Dr. Lateef. Such a worthy conversation. Excellent contributions from Imam Hamid. So happy to hear this. The family unit is in jeopardy. Yes, so this is what we have to put back together. So let's take your caller, Brother Kareem.
Okay. Erico 312671. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, and Yashalom, who are you? Can you hear me, Assalamu Alaikum, Brother Queen?
Yes.
Waalaikum Assalam, Minister Plump.
Yes, sir. Wayo and Yashalom. That means we are one. We must, as they say, we establish the whole family, because the family is the roots. And roots is really 23. It's a blessing from God. And we have to get back to God's will only is the best solution for us all through the village. You know, it takes a village to raise one child, and no one, as Mama D says, Mama D Love says, no one can raise a kid. So what's the experience, you know, now is the children, our children is acting as kids. And the kid is a rebellious beast that's against the law and the process of God. So we got to get back to the roots. And roots also equals to 23. It gives us a vision in reality. So I'm very thankful to just share that thought that it takes a village to raise one child, and that we all is a part of the village. That's an African way of life that we can serve, as Dr. King used to say.
Okay. Thank you, Minister Plot.
You're welcome. God bless your heart.
All right. We have one more caller on the line, before so I can get them in. Area code 313-879. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Islam. And I'm just here. I just want to say we plan, but there's a master plan. Just like he put the sun and moon out there and make day follow night and put you together when you was in your mama's stomach, he still ain't through with you. Just do the right thing. And how you know it's right, it don't hurt.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. It doesn't hurt.
I think he's done.
Do the right thing. And, you know, that took me right back to Genesis when Cain had slain his brother. And, no, it was just before. He says, hey, look, just do the right thing. Don't be angry. Do the right thing. And we are allowing our minds to take that anger and perpetuate the anger about situations rather than understanding the focus that God wants us to do is to be masters. And then he says, you hear, be Yusuf to rule your mind, master your mind, control your mind. And that is the power that we must bring to our children and to our community. The community too is embodied. Hallelujah, of many people. And the mind, you know, like we have a thing, some of us have a thing about, oh, that west side or that north side, because it's a mind consciousness that is brought about because of the collection of the people there. Mm. So wherever we are, let's change the consciousness of ourselves first.
Yeah.
Ask our community organizations to be a part of this support, to bring the message of the need for a family spirit in our community. And take that responsibility to be God just where we are.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, let's see. I think we got time for one more caller before we take a break. Let me go to area code 773-221, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience. Got about a minute.
Andrew Nelson Bay from Chicago. You know, beauty is a virtue. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Beauty is a virtue, you say, yes.
And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The application of this is that the attraction that people between the ages of, say, 13 and 19 years of age, so-called teenagers, are attracted to each other. And there, of course, could be a sexual attraction. And I love how Imam Orthi Muhammad is said to have advocated that when teenagers have this attraction, they should be encouraged to marry. And that would, and of course, part of reparations, to my mind, is that by the age of 18 or 21, every Moorish American man should have his own house and shall have his own house so that he has the economic wherewithal to be properly married.
Mm-hmm. So Brother Andrew, you're saying that one of the issues has to do with proper preparation and economic viability. And I think that is one of the things that when we speak about if families can be supportive of young people who are going through their natural development toward adulthood, because a so-called teenager is not going to have the economic wherewithal. But if we have been struggling with this discriminatory economic system that forces us to not be able to be prepared, then we end up being forced to not form families, and then our communities fall apart because we don't have the family structure that provides the foundation of support, like Mama Joy was talking about. So this is why we need the elders to understand their role in supporting their young people in forming families when their body clock says it's time for them to do so. We're going to take another break and come
saying
right
that
back.
Mormons...
More comments?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be right back. But thank you for your comments, Andrew. We appreciate you so much. And
yeah, well, so we can get back to them. I'd like to talk.
Yeah, so we'll talk further about that. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And
call,
we'll be
call
right
a friend.
Call a friend. Call a friend. Absolutely. Grab a pen, call a friend, as they say.
Hallelujah. Greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Dr. Ron, his show yesterday, and he was telling us about a story, a man who's a single father, you know, trying to raise a couple of daughters, well, actually in, kind of like a foster father because the mother left and all of that and died, and he ended up, their uncles ended up taking care of them. Well, he never had any children of his own. He didn't know anything about nurturing, didn't know how to cook, so he was giving pizza all the time, you know, because he had no parenting skills. We need to be teaching all of our children parenting skills. Every species on the planet does this. They prepare their children for adulthood. We're the only species that doesn't do that. And we got to look at ourselves. We're the ones saying, oh, we're so intelligent, but we're the only species on the planet that does not go through the process of preparing their children for adulthood. So now we've been talking about the fact that we're launching an online school in May 16th, look out for it. New Earth Home Academy. And our first class is parents. Yes.
If I could play this public service announcer, it is very short, but it is speaking to what you are saying. I apologize, but this is so very important. We want everyone to listen to what this young girl is saying.
So I was telling my brothers, if they ever had daughters, to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little, have little journeys, and take them out to eat, and treat them like a young lady, and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them, and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated. So they won't expect, or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
Yes. And that
yes,
that's the role of a father in the home for daughters. That's what you need. And when you don't have that father in the home that shows you what it feels like to be respected as a man, then you're looking for it and you end up with something else. And that's unfortunately what's happening to our daughters. So, and thank you so much for playing that, Brother Kareem, because, you know, the issue is not that our daughters are to womanhood too fast, because they're growing at the rate they're supposed to grow. But they don't have that teaching that would have prepared them. They don't have the image of the father showing them, by the way he treats, how a woman's supposed to be treated. But they have this desire to be with a man and to feel the love of a man. So they end up with a boy child who has also not been prepared to be a man. And Brother Kareem, as a lot of the men expressed on your men only discussions, they were told to go out and get sex. They were not prepared to become husbands and fathers. They were taught, sow your wild oats, continue playing, be a player, play with the emotions of a woman and have your sexual fun. If she gets pregnant, oops, oh, well, you know. So we end up arguing over whether or not abortion should be legal instead of why don't we fix what's broken so that there won't be a need or desire for an abortion in the first place. Understand that you're preparing your mind, body, and spirit to bring forth life, and be prepared when you do that so that you're not, oh, we didn't intend for a soul to come into you. Oh, we got to get rid of that because, you know, I wasn't ready. Why aren't we getting our children ready to be parents, adults, and partners in life like every other species?
Well, because we follow traditions, and we follow those who come before us. Mm. The young lady that spoke, I'm so happy to hear her. Thank you, Brother Hakeem Kareem, for having her with us because, you know, I was a part of the public school system as an educator there, and home ec has been taken out of the schools. And one of the things home ec did is taught the young lady, well, they taught both male and female how to cook.
Yes.
It taught sewing.
Yes.
And it taught, and they taught about relationships.
Yes.
This has been taken out of the school because we have, so many of us have become lazy and disconnected with the school, letting the schools make decisions what it is that what they feel our children need, rather than us letting them know what we feel and what we desire, what plans have we for our community. And then plugging back into the spiritual aspect, I'm not pushing religion, but there is a spiritual accountability that we do have. And most of us reference the, you know, the Bible, the Quran, or whatever. And I wanted to be stated that there are 13 books in the Bible that women are there, but they don't have a voice.
Mm.
And I've been reading part of this book. It's called The Bible Women, and it's telling you that there are 1,801 characters in the Bible, and only 181 are women.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at these numbers, there's not very much reference that can give us the foundation that we need as women, simply because women were not valued then, and females were not a part of the solution. They've always been part of the problem. So they've never been brought to the table to voice, and that is the value of the female solution. That is the voice of taking to the air and having discussions like this, because we do have a voice. And our families are very important to us. They're built upon the consciousness of the individual, male and female. And the only way we're going to bring our communities together or the village is to bring the continuity, bring that union of male and female, both respecting the value of what we bring to the table as the feminine essence, as the masculine essence of God, and bring the healing that we need. Whether you're Muslim or Buddha or whatever, Christian, it doesn't matter. No mother, no father that loves their children is bringing, planting them in the womb, delivering from the womb, and desires to bury them.
Absolutely.
This must stop. And so I'm standing on that because we are in a new era. The books were written either 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, and I'm not saying discard them, but build on them because we need them. But this is a new age, and this is a new era, and we need to see how God fits in this new world that we are in now.
That makes total sense. Zelda Robinson says, supporting young people. And we think Triple Click will help support Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest at zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Zelda has a fantastic platform where young people from all over the world are showing brilliant talent and creativity. Now, these are young people that we need to encourage and allow them to grow. That's what the new world is about, unlimited possibilities. Family doesn't need to mean absence of opportunities. Like you just said, Mama Joy, this is a new age. There are so many opportunities open to us now as women. It doesn't have to mean a contradiction in building a family. No other species stop doing what they're doing to have a family. That's part of your life. You can have a family, still be developing your creative skills, your talents, your business, all of those things. And if you're working together in partnership with the other parent, then it's not impossible. That's look at all the things that we used to do before success was defined by a
modern age.
You had families that were running farms. You had families that were running, you know, marketing their wares, whatever they built in the home. You had families that worked together. So why are we thinking that in order for me to be an adult, I have to divorce myself from the family structure, work and gain a certain dollar figure and buy all these things, and then I can start a family? And in the meantime, I'm just going to play with other people's emotions and bodies and hope nothing happens. And if it does, oh, well, get rid of it or neglect it.
You're bringing to point, Naima, a very clear picture that we're operating in somebody else's mindset.
Yes, yes.
We're operating in somebody else's man-made mindset.
Absolutely,
and it does not favor us.
Absolutely.
And so it is our responsibility to take ownership of the mind that the God within us. As my brother Jesus says, he said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And for my sisters to understand that greater is she that is in you than any she that is in the world. And we have a responsibility to master not only our mind, take control of our mind, seek those individuals so that it can increase the consciousness of this idea and the vision that we have for our community, for our family, and for ourselves, and for this world. Hallelujah.
Because
you've got that way, group.
You know, it is reported.
Absolutely.
But we are very spiritual people here, and we have invested 400 years.
You know, it is reported that in the biblical scriptures.
Absolutely.
It is important that we bring dignity to our past and not stay angry, because how can God use us?
You got to get out of anger and
you got to get it
come back to love. So, Brother Kareem, you had a thought, and then
I may share this, it is most important. It is reported in biblical scripture that Jesus told his followers before his leaving, he said, look to your mother. And in the Quran, there is a whole chapter named after Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mary, the mother of Jesus, a whole chapter, not just a verse, a whole chapter. And I think we can learn much from that. Revelation came to the mother of Moses. She plays a very important role. So we are to know that the mother is the first teacher. The Prophet Muhammad said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. So we have to balance it out. I agree with you, my sister. We must have the perfect balance of both the male and female function. Very important. Yes,
absolutely.
I'll stop right there.
What surah is Surah Maryam in the Holy Quran? Which one is that, Brother Kareem? What number?
I'm not sure. I really can't call it to mind right now. It is there. Let me look it up, inshallah. Oh, go ahead, please.
Yes, and
I'll share it with you in a few moments.
I'm
you're bringing something to mind, because you know no one would think of looking at the Quran, but that's 98.
Thank you, my sister. Surah 98, chapter 98, a whole chapter. What has happened is that men have brought their biases and incorporated them in scripture. We have to eradicate that and bring the proper balance to be successful as human beings on this earth.
Yes, and Zelda Robinson says on Facebook, she says, men are still taught to be players today. Nothing has changed. Men need to step up as well as young women. And, you know, this is the reality. We can't have, you know, you're telling women, well, wait and don't fulfill your sexual expression, and then tell men, oh, hey, go out and get all you can. That is a contradiction. We have to be teaching family values to both, which means we know, as you said, Brother Kareem, if Imam or Dean Muhammad is saying, look, this is when our children are developing into adulthood. Make it possible for them to be the adults that they are. Support their relationship.
Don't condemn them.
Don't kick them out the house. Don't call them names. Oh, you're so fast. Oh, yeah, when you're trying to be a, you know, what, you're trying to be a man? You know, what, all that. Look, they are growing into men and women at the same biological age they've been growing into men and women. Allow them to become adults. Prepare them to be adults. Help them form families. Support their families. And encourage them and make sure they have life skills. We let other people have control over whether our children were ready to be adults when they were ready to be adults by handing over other people to educate our children, and they gave them useless knowledge that teaches them nothing about how to take care of themselves. And that has to stop. So I'm urging all of us to take control, take back control of our lives.
You know, expanding the womb, womb of a mother's love. And that can be done only through her voice being heard. Women must speak up in their divine voice.
Absolutely. We've got a caller here on the line. Let's go to 706-202, and then we'll go to 773-521. 706-202, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Yes, please.
Assalamu alaikum, and greetings to your guests. Naima, and this is Brother Kwame Sunhorse. I'm in the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek here in Georgia. And, I've chimed in late, but the important part is always when you get there. So the part of me in hearing that we are speaking to family, which is most important, and the first community on Mother Earth, because this is the who we live upon is a female energy. Everyone walks upon the mother, and we have to understand that, because we have to begin to realize that every man has a belly button. We all came from a woman. And so the part that we're looking at is we have to stop looking at, and I heard someone speak on 400 years. We were here before 400 years. And that's the part that we have to stop giving ourselves identity that someone else gave to us. And the thing, as Julius Nyerere says, whosoever educates your children control your world. Whosoever educates your children controls your world. We have turned our children over to someone else, into a system of invaders and captive takers. And so the thing that we're looking at is, what are we doing to free ourselves? We're talking all of the talk that we want to do. We have all of the knowledge. We know the scriptures. We know all of this. How does this free us? Because we got to look at seven generations as indigenous people, and we look seven generations forward, seven generations backward. And you, someone spoke to it, is that we had family when we were captives. But somehow the other one, we got free. How did that destroy
the family because the destruction of a nation begins in the home. And this is what we have allowed. We've allowed people to cross our threshold, cross into our hearts and minds, and take over the body and the mind. So what are we going to do about raising a generation? We talk about men or a man. Is M-A-N is to make another nation. We can't make another nation without a womb that makes another nation, and we have to respect our women. Thank us.
Thank us. Thank us.
Thank us.
Yes.
We
got one more quick caller.
Brenda Sunhorst.
Thank you. We got one more quick caller, 773-521. Got about a minute before we wrap up. Go right here with your comment. Make sure your mic is open. Okay, yes, 773-521. Your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Okay, this is Koopy. Thanks for the conversation.
Sure.
We like to always bring about truth that Christ was a black man. You can Google it. His name was Akhenaten. Just Google Jesus was a pharaoh. He was married to Nefertiti. They had children. We are living under a Greek system which took our knowledge from the stones, which was all over the world, and we're living their system. Okay? So let's get out that system and understand Jesus had nappy hair, okay? And we have a blueprint in this country, and that was we had family. My family had family towns, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to so-called integrate and diversify with everybody. Why don't you integrate and diversify with your family, with your auntie, with your uncle, with your cousin? Do that first. It's family first. I'm teaching my daughter. She's 16. I'm telling her she's going to be wealthy by 25. When you have a baby, you're going to make me a granddad. Okay? And we have a great relationship. Yeah. Huh? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We ain't all bad. We ain't all messed up. Okay?
Yeah.
But
well,
some of us are trapped up in this system.
Thank you for being a positive father figure to your daughter. Because that's what our fathers need to be, and that's what's going to transform our young ones. Thank you so much. So it is time for us to go. Thank you once again. Brother Kareem, as always, we appreciate your wisdom, our wonderful co-host. And next week is our men-only discussion. Brother Kareem, your show is becoming so popular. I'm getting men calling me requesting to be on this panel. So we're looking forward to next week's show, and we're going to have some exciting conversations. Men only, sisters, what we do, we listen on the other line. We don't say nothing. We let them talk, and, you know, call in on this line. If you want to say something, we'll comment during the commercial break where they can't hear us.
Naima.
So we make sure.
Naima, in light of next Wednesday, you know, as Muslims, we are celebrating the month.
So we can have
Ramadan,
you start it at 8 o'clock.
The month of
fast. How about we start you at 8 o'clock? Will that work?
Oh, that's fine. That will be
right.
Fine. Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic.
Well
thanks.
I'm going to have to leave. I'm due to speak on the at 9:15, so I'm going to run away.
All right. And get ready for that speech.
So much. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mama Joy, as always. Joy to the world.
Yes, let's get these family values. Hop in.
We've come to the end of our show today,
yes,
but you can hear every
yes
show in
thank
the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
Well, right. Well,
you,
so you
can
we'll
also
see you
hear
tomorrow
show on the Female Solution Facebook
Soulful
page.
Solutions.
Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias.
Thank you for using
Italy,
Talk Radio.
Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.